Open your Bibles, if you would, to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. The name of the message is, Now Are We the Sons of God. Now are we the sons of God. 1 John chapter 3. We'll continue our study in this wonderful book. It's been a great blessing to go through this book, written by John, the beloved disciple. Chapter 3, we'll read verses 1 to 9 to get the context of our verses. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in Him purifies himself, even as He is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And you know that He was manifest to take away our sins, and in Him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in Him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen Him, neither known Him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as He is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that He might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for His seed remaineth in Him, and He cannot sin, because He is born of God. Now, 2 weeks ago, we looked at verse 1 of this wonderful chapter, a verse that's very, very dear to the believer in Christ. It brings forth in this verse, in verse 1, it brings forth the distinguishing love of God towards His people, His elect. And it brings it very clearly before us. Let's read that verse again. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. That's God's elect, because we know this epistle is written to God's people, that we should be called the sons of God. Now here's the distinction here. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. So we see right in that verse God's distinguishing grace. The elect of God. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. We know that. We've been taught about the everlasting love of God in Christ. But the world does not know that love. And that love is set upon God's people, His chosen blood-bought people. As Brother Tim James brought forth, the statement that we should be called the sons of God is a declaration of what we are. It's a declaration of what we are. And what a marvelous declaration this is, that we should be called the sons of God. Called, we know, by His effectual grace, and called the sons of God by adoption in Christ. And we know this, that it's all by the grace and mercy of God that that can be said of us, and only by the mercy of God. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, given us. Remember, we looked at that. That's a gift. And that's a permanent gift in the Greek. It's not something that's given and then taken away. Bestowed there means a permanent gift. It's given to you. Well, we know that our salvation is given to us in Christ. The faith that we have is given to us. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That we should be called the sons of God. Again, we looked at the contrast, though, in this first verse and how God's distinguishing grace is on display between those who are called the sons of God, and we know, again, that's by God's mercy and grace and His love, His eternal love that was set upon us from eternity, and the world who knows not Christ, who knows not Christ, does not know Him. And the world does not know us, we see in that first verse, because it does not know Him. They cannot understand us. How do we know that? Well, just look at how we looked at Christians. I wanted nothing to do with any Christians at all. Nothing at all. Matter of fact, I used to get quite annoyed when they came around me. But that was my natural state. I did not know Christ. Now that I know Christ, and is it so for you, now that you know Christ, you desire to be around God's people. You desire to hear the Word of God preached and proclaimed. And it's wonderful. As Brother Drew and I were, or Drew Dietz and I were talking about today, it leaves the believer in awe, in absolute awe of who Christ is. And the fact that He has manifested Himself to us, and the fact that everything we know, and I know I keep saying this, but it's so true, the fact that everything we know comes from Him. Comes from Him. He's the one. The Holy Spirit teaches us the things of Christ. We cannot lay claim to anything. Anything at all. Again, what Paul wrote, we boast in Christ. In Christ alone. That's who we boast in. We boast in Him. Let's look at that verse again. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Man will never know. Man, natural man, will never know who Christ is or who the God of the Bible is unless He reveals Himself to them. And every believer can say, amen. I did not know Christ. Did you know Christ before He revealed Himself to you? We may have read the Bible or read parts of it, but did you know Him? Did you know who He was? You may have grew up in a grace church, but did you know Him? Brother Matt, constantly, when we talk, he says, Wayne, I sat in the grace church and I did not know Christ until He revealed Himself to me. Well, amen. It's the same for all of us. It's the same for all of us. It's a revelation of God, beloved. And that's what makes it so incredible. That's what makes this statement here. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. We were of them at one time. But praise God, He has bestowed His love upon us. We who are His people. Now let's read verses 1 and 2 together. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Verse 2, look at this. Beloved. It's addressed to God's people. Those who are beloved by God. Beloved. Now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. Now note here. Note the words here in this verse. And what great comfort. What great comfort can be found in this one little verse. Just like last week. One verse. What great comfort. Or 2 weeks ago. What great comfort can be found in this verse right here. Oh, what great comfort can be found right here. And what great comfort can be found in this one word. Beloved. Beloved. The only reason we are called the Beloved is because of God's grace and mercy. We do not deserve to be called beloved, but God chose us in eternity in Christ. And so John writes believers, and that includes us right now, beloved. Beloved. Think of this. God's people are beloved of God by adoption. If you're a believer, you're beloved of God by adoption in Christ. You're beloved of God in predestination. We are being conformed to the image of Christ. Beloved of God. You're beloved. If you're one of His people, you're beloved of God in the covenant of grace, in the everlasting covenant, beloved of God. Beloved of God. If you're a born-again believer, you're beloved of God in regeneration. God's people are born again by the Holy Spirit of God. And if you're beloved of God, you're beloved of God in Christ. And the testimony of the Spirit in us, the Holy Spirit on us, is what? We cry, Abba, Father. Abba, Father. We cry out to our great God, beloved. What a word. Beloved. In this verse, this word beloved in this verse brings forth the fact that we are, as one commentator said, the divinely loved ones. Let that sink into your heart. We are the divinely loved ones. Oh my. Born again by God, and I like this, objects of His eternal love. Beloved. Beloved of God. Now let's consider the next portion of this wonderful verse here. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Now are we the sons of God. What a declaration. What a declaration here before us. God's people, His elect, they that are born again by the Holy Spirit of God, who is the author also of the Scriptures, God's elect are declared here, that we are now the sons of God. Now the sons of God. Take note of this little word, now. Now. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Just a tiny little word. Just a tiny little word. But oh, what a word. Now. We're not on probation. We're not on trial. Our great God does not save us to see how long we'll be faithful. Or how obedient we will be. Again, we're not on probation. We're not on a trial. When one starts a job in this world, most places of work will place the worker on a 90-day probation period. We've all went through that, right? We've all went through that on jobs. They still do it today. And if you're on time, and if you're reliable, and if you're a hard worker, then they probably determine, well, we're not going to let you go. We're going to keep you on. But if they determine that you're not reliable and you're not a hard worker, well, see you later. I remember a false preacher one time. I was watching the news, and this false preacher, who's very famous, was on. And he said one of the most ridiculous things I've ever heard. He said, just give God a 90-day trial. That's just nonsense. That's absolute nonsense. Now think of this though. God's people, again, are not on probation. There's no probationary period. We're not on trial. He doesn't wait 90 days to see if we're going to do the right things or perform in a certain way. No. Salvation is absolutely wholly dependent upon Christ and Christ alone. And what He's done. What He's done. And He is the one we trust in. He's the one we look to. Let's look at this verse again. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Now. Now. Right now. The Scripture doesn't say if we do this, then we're the sons of God. Doesn't say that, does it? God doesn't say, well, I'll see how they act. Let's see how they act when they're going through a trial or a tribulation. And then, no, it doesn't say that, does it? It doesn't say that. Oh, and it doesn't even say if we act like the sons of God, then we're sons of God, does it? It says, beloved, now, look at this with wonder and awe. Now, beloved, now are we the sons of God. Now. And this is true of every born-again, blood-washed believer, beloved. Now. Is it any wonder then? Is it any wonder when we read a statement like this? Is it any wonder then that Paul wrote, the love of Christ constraineth us from sin? Eh? That it'll leave you in wonder. See, folks take statements like I made when I said it's not based upon your obedience and it's not based. They take that and say, well, you're preaching antinomianism. No, absolutely not. No. God's people won't go crazy. Because we read a scripture like that and we're like, oh my Lord, look what you've done for me. It was my sin that put you on the cross. And it leaves us in awe. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Now. And this is a declaration. This is a declaration here before us of what we are presently. That'll warm your soul. It's a declaration of what we are presently. It's as one grace preacher I heard say, it's a state. It's a present state. Behold, our beloved, now are we the sons of God. And the word now there, although it's a very small word, is very prominent in this text. Very prominent. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Salvation is spoken of, turn if you would to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Salvation is spoken of in the present in Scripture. Now we see here in our text that we are declared the sons of God and spoken of in the present, isn't it? Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Look at this over here in 1 Corinthians 1:18. Look at this. For the salvation here is spoken of in the present. For the preaching of the cross, verse 18, chapter 1, 1 Corinthians, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. It's foolishness to them. They don't think, they mock our King. They mock God's people. They mock the Word of God. It's foolishness to them. But, to them that perish it's foolishness. But, unto us which are saved, we're saved presently, aren't we? Right now, it is the power of God. It's the power of God. It's the power of God for every believer right now. We are saved in Christ right now. We are called the sons of God right now. Right now. It's absolutely wondrous. Absolutely wonderful. The Scripture do not say to them who shall be saved, there does it. Or it doesn't say to them who shall keep themselves. No, it says to them which are saved. Saved. It is the power of God. It's a sure thing in the present, right now. to them which are saved. Now turn, if you would, to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. We'll look at verses 1 and 2. And take note of the same little word now right here. Oh my. And this will show us that our justification before God is present right now. Marvel at this. Our salvation is sure right now. We are called the sons of God right now. And look at this in Romans chapter 8. This speaks of our justification before God. There is therefore, there's that word again, now. Now, right now. Right now. No condemnation. Oh my! To who? To them which are in Christ Jesus. Praise be to God, beloved. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Look at that little word there, beloved. There is therefore now, no condemnation. And that word condemnation, I went over this many times because this verse is so sweet to me. The word condemnation in the Greek is judgment. There is therefore now no judgment. Now, right now. Isn't that wonderful? Right now. There is therefore now no judgment to them which are in Christ Jesus. Why? Because Christ paid it all, beloved. He paid it all. Oh, it's wonderful. Now think of this. Adoption. Adoption is a present blessing as well. Turn, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 again. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And actually, adoption is a present thing because of our text that says, now are we the sons of God. Now. Right now. So our adoption in Christ is a present thing. Now are we the sons of God. Now here we're going to look at our sanctification. Look at this. Do you know that sanctification is a pleasant present blessing too? A present blessing. So our adoption in Christ is a present blessing. Our justification in Christ is a present blessing. Our salvation in Christ is a present blessing. Now look at this. We'll see our sanctification is a present blessing. The Apostle Paul addresses himself to the Corinthians, the Corinthian church, again with these words inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ. How? 1 Corinthians 1 and 2. 1 Corinthians 1 and 2. Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus. In Christ. Called to be saints. We know that's an effectual calling of God. With all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's go back to our text. So we've seen that our salvation is a present thing. Our justification in Christ is a present thing. And again, our salvation is in Christ alone. We saw there that our sanctification is a present blessing. And then look at this declaration again. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. That proclaims that our adoption in Christ is a present blessing. A present. Now are we called the sons of God. It's absolutely wonderful, beloved. It's absolutely wonderful. And again, this is our declaration, a declaration of our standing before God. Beloved. Divinely loved ones, now, right now, are we the sons of God. What a declaration. Now, in this world, we're tossed to and fro, aren't we? Turn, if you would, one more chapter over. 1 John 4. And we'll look at verse 17. We're tossed to and fro by circumstances, aren't we? We all are. But rejoice in this truth. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. Again, John is showing us the fruit of God's love to us and our love for God, which we know is the fruit of the Spirit. And we can stand boldly before God. We can stand boldly before God right now at the throne of grace and at the final judgment because we're in Christ. That's wonderful. That's absolutely wonderful. Brings the saint of God great comfort. Now, in our natural state, we dread the presence of God. We dread the presence of God in our natural state. We fear death. And justly so. Justly so. For our sins hold us what? Guilty. Condemned before God. And condemnation in hell comes to our mind in our natural states. When we think of God, natural man has reasons to fear and to shun the presence of God. But the believer does not fear the judgment day. On the contrary, we approach death and judgment confidently. Not confident in ourselves, because we have no confidence in the flesh. But we can confidently and cheerfully approach death and judgment because all our sins have been judged in Christ. There is therefore now no judgment, condemnation to those in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. Now, right now, no judgment. It's wonderful. Think upon these words by Brother Henry Mahan about that verse in chapter 4, in verse 17. I'll read it again. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Brother Henry says this, as Christ is the Son of God by nature, we are sons of God by adoption. Remember, beloved, now are we the sons of God. As he is loved by the Father with an everlasting and unchangeable love, so are we loved by him. So are we loved by him with the same kind of love. Oh my. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Oh my. Same love. Even while we're in this world. That's wonderful. That's absolutely wonderful. Look again. Behold, now we are the sons of God. And consider that this is our current state. For every born again, blood washed believer in Christ. Well, we are in this world. And we are sons of God for eternity. Oh my. It's absolutely wonderful. Let's read the whole verse again. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now the true believer in Christ, the true believer who's resting and trusting in Christ, which every true believer is doing, is here declared to be a son of God. Son of God. And this little word is delightful. Now. Now to the believer in Christ. Now. Now we're the sons of God. Now think of this. Let this sink deep into your soul. We are the sons of God by choice. By choice. By God's choice. By God's choice. Chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. The Scriptures declare this. According as he, God, hath chosen us in him, that's Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children, now you're called the sons of God, by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. God's will. God's choice. To the praise of the glory of His grace, which we'll be giving Him praise to the glory of His grace for eternity, beloved, when we're in glory. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the beloved, Ephesians 1:3-5. And then Peter writes these words. So that Paul writes those words. And remember, these are all by inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. Peter writes these words. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God through sanctification of the Spirit. You're born again, set apart by the Holy Spirit of God, born again, quickened. Unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. So we are the sons of God by choice. It's God's choice. And we marvel at that, don't we? We absolutely marvel at that. We're also, the elect of God are also sons of God by God's love, which is eternal, everlasting, and I like this, unchanging love. It'll never change. No matter what circumstance we're going through, God's love for His people never changes. Our love may grow a little cold sometimes. His love for us never changes. Never. Never, ever. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. The verse right before our verse. That we should be called the sons of God. Do you know also that we are the sons of God by gift? That we are the sons of God by gift? The Scripture proclaims this in John 6:37. And this is the Master saying this, all that the Father giveth me, giveth. The Father gave us to Christ in eternity. All that the Father giveth, we're the sons of God by gift. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. It's a fact. They shall. And him that cometh to me, I'll no wise cast out. Now are we called the sons of God. And He'll never cast us out. Never. Never. And you know this too. We're the sons of God by purchase. We're the sons of God by purchase. Turn, if you would, to We're the sons of God by purchase. Christ redeemed us with His own precious blood. The Scripture says this in the book of Acts. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God which He hath purchased with His own blood. Christ, who is the God-man, God incarnate in the flesh, has purchased us with His own precious blood. His own precious blood. He has redeemed us. We're His by purchase. We're His by purchase. Turn, if you would, to John 17:6. That's where I was going to have us turn to. And look what our Lord says here. Again, this is under the heading of the gift. That we're sons of God by gift from the Father to Christ. Look at this in John 17:6. The Lord's high priestly prayer. Look what He proclaims here. Look at this. And think of this. Bring this right home to you as a believer. Because we should do that with the Scriptures. Bring this right home. John 17:6. I have manifest thy name unto the men, and we know that's women too, men which thou gavest me, and He's talking here of the disciples though, of which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. But look at this. We can say, I have manifested thy name unto... He's manifested His name unto all the people whom God gave Him, didn't He? All of us. All the elect of God. And now there's some who are lost still. But just like we were called with an effectual calling, beloved, they too shall be called. They too shall be called. Look at that beautiful verse, though. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now we know that Christ manifests to his sheep, all his sheep that he purchased with his precious blood, himself. And the Holy Spirit's the one who shows us him, the one who reveals him to us. And we know that God gave all the elect to Christ. So we're the sons of God by gift. We're also the sons of God by power. By power. Not by any power of our own. Because we know left in our natural state, we have no power to save ourselves. We have no power to save anybody else, let alone ourselves. But the Scripture declares in Psalm 110:3, thy people shall be made willing in the day of thy power. God's power. We're sons of God by power, by God's power. By God's power. He made us willing. The unwilling were made willing. And they flee right to Christ. All by the power of God. All by the power of God. Think of this too. We're born again not by any power within us. We don't have any power to regenerate ourselves. We can't do that, can we? We're born dead. But by the power of God, we're born again. And the Lord told Nicodemus, right? Ye must be born again. Nicodemus, like a natural man, said, well, how can that happen? Am I go in my mother's womb again? No. No. You're born from above. By the power of God. By the power of God. And by the power of God Almighty. Turn, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. We're born again by the power of God. We're sons of God by the power of God, beloved. The Holy Spirit's regenerated us. And now, glory to His name, we're born again. We're born again. Look at this in 1 Peter chapter 1. Look at verses 3. Look at verse 3, and then we'll look at verses 22 and 23. Look at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy, and every one of God's people can say, oh, His mercy is so abundant to me. His abundant mercy hath what? Begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Well, we're born again. And we have a lively hope, which we know from our studies in 1 Peter, that's a living hope. Our Savior's alive. Every other religion you can trace to a man in the grave. But our Lord rose from the grave. He was victorious. He's raised for our justification. And that's why there's therefore now no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. Because He paid everything that was demanded. Now look at verses 22 and 23. Seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit, we know by the power of the Spirit, unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Oh my. All by the power of God. All by His almighty power. Let's go back to our verse. 1 John 3:2. All by the power of God. Look at this. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Now remember, our Lord did not stand out amongst the people. Isaiah 53:2, the Scriptures declare this about our Lord. For He shall grow up before Him as a tender plant, and as a root of the dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. He didn't stand out amongst men. He didn't come into this world arrayed in fine robes as a king. He's born a king, though, isn't he? He's king before he comes. He's born a king, and he's king right now. But he didn't come in pomp and circumstances, did he? He's born in a lowly manger. Born in a lowly manger. And the scripture declare in Isaiah 53:2 that he hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there's no beauty in that we should desire him. Now, in our natural state, just as the unbelieving Jews who looked upon Christ and saw no beauty in him, that's the natural state of men. When we were unregenerate, we didn't see beauty in Christ. But now that we're born again of the Holy Spirit of God, oh, what beauty we see in Christ! He's the fairest among 10,000 to our souls. He's our heavenly bridegroom. He's the one that went to Calvary and died for my sin. He's the one we love and adore, beloved. Now, think of this. In this world, you can tell an Amish person, an Amish person, or you can tell a Mennonite, can't you? And you can tell them priests that walk around with them collars on their neck, right? Or nuns that are all dressed up in their dress. Oh, you can tell that who they are by their dress. Well, we know they're just self-righteous people who like the praise of man. Or who are dressing like that because they're obeying the law, supposedly. All the time, they can't keep it. Have you ever pondered when you're out at the restaurant or at a mall or at an airport? Have you ever pondered that you cannot tell if there are other believers around you? Have you ever pondered that? You can't tell. And they cannot tell if you're a believer. You ever pondered that? You're walking through an airport and you may go right by one of God's elect and don't even know it, right? And here you are, one of God's elect, going right by them, and they don't even know it either. They have no clue, and you have no clue. No. Think of these words in light of that before us. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. The world doesn't recognize us as sons of God. The world doesn't recognize us as sons of God. Even though the scriptures right here declare that this is our present state. That's what the scriptures declare, but the world don't recognize that. Turn, if you would, to Romans chapter 8. Now in this world we're subject to many miseries and trials and temptations. And we are fully aware as believers of the sin that's within us. And we're fully aware of the evil around us too. And yet the scriptures declare that now at this very moment, we are the sons of God. Right now. Look at this in Romans chapter 8. We're starting verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Now we suffer in this world. We suffer many things. But look at that. That the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. for the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Look at that. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. The freedom. There'll be a day, beloved, when we're free from sin. We're totally free from sin. When we get the glory. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but also ourselves, because we're in the flesh, which have the first fruit of the Spirit, even as we groan, we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body. Oh, what a glorious day it'll be when we're in glory. For we are saved by hope. Who's the object of your hope? Every believer says Christ. Right? For we are saved by hope. We're saved by Christ. He's our hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. So if you can see something, you're not hoping for it. But if you don't see it, you're hoping for it. Well, we don't see Christ, but He's our hope. One day we're going to see Him, beloved. One day we will. One day we will. For we are saved by hope, that's Christ. But hope that is seen is not hope, but by the eyes of faith we look to Him. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then we do with patience wait for it. And we do with patience wait for the day when the Lord takes us home to be in glory with Him. To be in glory with the very One who is our hope. Oh, what a blessing God's people have. What a blessing. Let's go back to our text. It says in verse 2, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Now we see here in this one verse, the blessings are just piled on top of each other. One on top of each other. Behold, beloved, behold. It tells us in the verse 1, behold. That means, put your attention on this. What manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. A blessing all in itself. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. Oh, we have a hope, don't we? And our hope is Christ. We're being conformed to His image. We're going to one day be in His presence. But we know, here's another hope piled on top of those other hopes. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. We'll see Him face to face. The One who is our hope, we're behold. And what a promise this is from God. What a promise this is. Do you know that this same promise is promised in the Old Testament and in the New? Turn, if you would, to Job. To Job. Chapter 19. Job chapter 19. Verses 25 to 27. This is wonderful. For I know. Job's writing about something he knows. Now we know the book of 1 John is written for us to know. Right? Know that we have salvation in Christ. Know the joy that we have in Him. Look at this. Job says, For I know that my Redeemer liveth. Well, that can be said from every believer, couldn't it? I know He lives. He's my hope. And that He shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, we're all going to die. Okay? Yet in my flesh Shall I see God? I'll see Him. I'll see Him. Remember our verse, when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Job says, here, I'll see Him. I'll see Him myself. Look at the next verse. Whom I shall see for myself. Well, every believer says that too. We're seeing for ourselves. Now we hope people we love will see Him too if they're born again of the Holy Spirit of God. But the believer could say, I'll see Him myself. I'll see Him. And mine eyes shall behold. They'll look upon Him. And not another. It'll be me looking at Him. Oh, one of the saints He purchased with His blood. All by His grace and mercy. All by His, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. Oh, what a blessed truth. Then Psalms, right, says this, as for me, I will behold Thy face in righteousness, clothed in the perfect, spotless righteousness of Christ. I shall be satisfied when I awake with Thy likeness. And then Psalm 16, it says this, Thou wilt show me the path of life, and Thy presence is fullness of joy. At Thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Now turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Verses 6 to 9. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be full. I've mentioned before that this is Christ. Christ is our righteousness, isn't He? Matthew 5, certain in verse 6 there. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. For they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Again, we've talked about that before too. God's people show mercy because we've received mercy. But look at this. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Born again of the Holy Spirit of God, all their sins are forgiven in Christ. They shall see God. Doesn't say, well, they might. Does it? It says, they shall see God. And then blessed are the peacemakers, for they are called the children of God. Well, who do we have peace with God through? The Lord Jesus Christ. But look at that verse right there. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. How are we made pure? How are we sinless in God's eyes? Even though we're still sinners while we're on this earth, only by the righteousness of Christ. Only by the righteousness of Christ. And those who are clothed in the perfect, spotless righteousness of Christ shall see God. Shall see Him. No question at all. Turn again, if you would, to the high priestly prayer. John 17. And look at verse 24. Look at this. We know where Christ is right now. He's seated at the right hand of the Father, isn't He? He's seated right at the right hand of the Father. Look at what He says here in John 17:24. Father, I will that they also whom Thou hast given me, and we were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, we're a gift from the Father to the Son, be with me where I am. Well, where's that? In glory. In glory, that they may behold my glory. Oh, that we'll look upon His face. And remember what our text says, when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. We'll see Him in glory. Right? That they may behold my glory, which Thou hast given me, for Thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. And then Colossians says this, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall He also appear with Him in glory. Colossians 3:4. And then Philippians, if you want to turn there, Philippians 3, verses 20 and 21, I'll read it. Says, for our conversation, and we know when we looked at that portion of Scripture, that conversation there is citizenship in the Greek. For our citizenship is in heaven. It's in heaven. from whence also we look for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's in heaven. Now, you've heard me say this before. Brother Henry often brings this out. Where the head is, the body will soon follow, right? Well, the head's in glory, beloved. And the body's going to soon follow. Oh my, it's wonderful. It's absolutely wonderful. Who shall change our vile body that may be fashioned like unto His glorious body according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. Philippians chapter 3 verses 20 and 21. All by God's power. All by God's power. Now we know that while we're here on this earth, that we see through a glass darkly. We see through a glass darkly, beloved. Paul wrote that. He said, for now we see through a glass darkly. But then, face to face. Face to face. For I know in part, now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I am known. Oh my. Brother Marcus and I were texting back and forth today. And our dear brother wrote, we can't understand the love of God right now, can we? And he said, but we will when we get home to glory, won't we? Yeah. And I think we're being even more of that great love that's been set upon us from eternity. Well, we're struggling with this body of sin and death, yet we're born again by the Holy Spirit of God. We're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And the Scripture here says we're now called the sons of God. Now. Even though we struggle with sin. Remember what the Scripture says too. Eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man things that God hath prepared for those that love Him. We can't even fathom it. We can't even fathom what heaven's like. We can't even enter into it. No. Save you some money. Don't ever buy books that people want to tell you about how heaven is because they don't have no clue. The one who was caught up into the third heaven couldn't even speak about the things that he saw. Marvel over the fact that our Lord watches His church. Marvel over the fact that He keeps His people. And He knows the hour is coming when He shall take His bride home and she shall never struggle with sin ever again. Never. The only time we will struggle with sin is while we're here on this earth. That's the only time. Beloved, divinely loved ones. Now are we the sons of God. And this is all because of Christ. All because of our union with Him who is our head. And oh, how wondrous this is. How wondrous this is. Just as the grace that is given to us is unmerited and can never be earned, this wonderful title here, Sons of God, comes to those who do not merit it. Because we're sinners. But praise be to God, we're saved sinners. We're saved sinners. Grace is given. It's not earned. Nothing about you or me can make us deserving of this grace and mercy. And nothing you have or ever will have will allow you to purchase it. Nothing. No one can purchase salvation and no one can earn salvation. But the believer has it freely in Christ. Given to us. Given to us. We're nothing but mercy beggars before the Lord. That's what we are. We're mercy beggars. And it is He who has had mercy upon us. It's the Lord. And think of this, beloved. It is He who has purposed to have mercy upon us. All by His grace. All by His grace. It is He who died on the cross for us as our substitute. It is He who has redeemed us with His precious blood. And we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. We will. We will. David said this, and it can be said of every single born-again, blood-washed believer. David wrote these words, "As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness." Are you a believer? And you can say these words too. "As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness." And always remember, it's all because of the grace of God. All because of the grace of God. Heavenly Father, we thank You for again allowing